bashful till the song's over. All righty, if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 29 this morning. Proverbs chapter 29, I'm just going to read one verse, because Mike's hungry this morning. One verse today, verse 18. And obviously it's January, and we've been talking about starting things new and having a plan maybe for the upcoming year. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about vision and having a vision. If we never have a vision or a goal or an ambition or something that we'd like to accomplish, really we'll never get anywhere in life, in many different areas of life, not just our spiritual life. And when we fail to make proper plans for our future, the future can always seem bleak or very hopeless. And that's what this passage is going to be telling us about this morning. Proverbs chapter 29, just verse 18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. That Hebrew word there for revelation, some of your Bibles may translate that as vision. It means the exact same thing. Where you can also say, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. So likewise, spiritually, we need to have an idea. That's what he's talking about. We need to have an idea of where we want to go in our relationship with God. Have you thought about that at the beginning of this year? Or thought about that the day you got baptized and wanted to start all new with God? And you made God your Savior. You made Him your God. You made Him the King of your world. Acknowledged Him as Creator of all things. Acknowledged Him as the one and only Savior of the universe. Were you given a vision, or did you even think about, where do I want to take this relationship? You know, some of you guys, you dated young ladies for quite a while. Some of you dated them not so quite long. And you had an idea of where you wanted that relationship to go. And some of you guys got on your knee and you asked that girl if she'd spend the rest of her life with you. And some of you were fortunate to get that yes answer. And that's exciting. And then you got married. And then chances are you probably made plans of where you wanted that marriage to go. Some of you wanted to add kids to that relationship. Some of you wanted to add career. Some of you wanted to add a different ministry in your church life, in your spiritual life, wherever the two of you planned. So it seems like in life we always need to have a vision of where we want to go, something to strive for, a direction. If we're living life, you know as well as I do, if you have no direction in life, things can get very hopeless very, very quick. That's when disdain sets in. That's when a little bit of depression sets in. And you have no idea where you're going. And we've got to be very careful in our spiritual walk that we know exactly where we're going with God or where God wants to take us. And part of our walk with God is just pure plain asking the Holy Spirit for vision. Where are you taking me, or where would you like to see me go in the upcoming year, in the upcoming days, whatever is in store for you? So we need to have an idea of where we want to go in our relationship with God, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want us to look at this verse one more time and hear what God would have to say to us through His Word. Where there is no revelation or vision, I like the word vision better. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. The scripture's talking about here spiritual darkness. If you're following along in the outline, number one, spiritual darkness. If there's no vision, if there's no understanding, if we don't have a revelation of who God is or a vision of who God is, then we live in ignorance or darkness. And that's one of the main reasons Jesus came. God did not want his people living in ignorance. He did not want his people living in darkness. The Israelites experienced that for hundreds of years. They were in captivity and had no idea what God was going to do with them, for them. They knew that God had a plan, that through the prophets, they knew of upcoming prophecies of messiahs or people that were going to rescue them way back in Exodus. They were told that there was going to be someone that was going to take them out of captivity. God did send Moses, but that was after a good 400 years. People started to kind of lose a little bit of trust. People started to lose hope. There's very much a sense of hopelessness that this is just where we're going to be forever. And God doesn't want his people living that way. He wants you to have an understanding of where he wants to take you. He wants you to have an understanding of him. If you don't understand God, life can get very hopeless. Life can get very full of darkness. And if we live in spiritual darkness, then we live lives that have basically two essential traits missing. If we don't wake up every day hoping and to receive vision from God, more understanding of who God is, more understanding of what he has in store for you, what he wants you to do in ministry, in life, in your relationships at home, the list goes on and on, we're going to be missing out on two things. And the first greatest thing is faith. Living in spiritual darkness without any vision, you're going to live a faithless life. Mark chapter 4, verse 40 says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? If we are in spiritual darkness, we will never walk in faith and always doubt the word of the Lord." And that's what gets us in trouble all the time. That is what that's what got man in trouble in the Garden of Eden. Not having a vision, not having an understanding of who is this God I'm walking with? And it caused Adam and it caused Eve to question God. I mean, Satan put that in their thought in their minds. But they took it a step farther and started questioning God themselves. Having a lack of faith. When we're walking around as Christians even, without having a vision of without studying the Word and finding out who Jesus was, who he is, Jesus revealed all the mysteries of God to mankind. He gave us a chance to see the heart of God. He gave us a chance to see the mind of God. What brought God joy? What brought God heartache? What God celebrated? What God honors? And then what God mourns? What upsets him? What hurts him? But God, Jesus also, he even showed us the vision of God. Once you give your life to God, where does he want you to go from there? And when we don't have that, we walk around, even as Christians, walking in darkness without really any faith. And it's very easy to say, well, I'm a Christian, I have faith, I have to have faith to confess Jesus as Lord. But you'd be amazed at how many Christians, and I've said this before, how many Christian people question their own salvation. People who have walked with God for 30, 40 years, worried, what's going to happen when I die? Jesus made that very clear. You accept me as Lord, you allow me to remove your sin, you're taken care of. You have the promise of salvation. There should be no question. There should be no worry. It's very easy for the human mind to say, well, have I been good enough? Did I attend church enough? Did I give enough at church? Did I serve enough at church? The answer is no. No, you didn't. You can't do enough. Jesus did. But when we don't have that vision, we don't have that understanding, or in the NIV, we don't have that revelation of what God's done for you. But that's going to cause us to live a really faithless Christian walk. And that hurts. It hurts because as a Christian, you're telling the world that I've made Jesus my Savior, Jesus my God, but I don't know how to serve him. Or I'm scared out of my mind to go and to do what he's called me to do. That, my friends, is living a life without faith. And the second thing we're going to be missing out if we're living in spiritual darkness is fruit. You as Christians have been called to bear fruit. What are those fruit? Or what is that fruit God wants me to bear? God revealed it in his word, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You've learned that in Sunday school. You sing songs about it in VBS. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. God says, I want you to bear fruit, and he takes it a step farther. I want you to bear much fruit. When we are living in spiritual darkness, or we don't have a vision of where God is in our life or what he's doing, or especially if we don't know what he's doing, because then how can we be a part of it? If we have a lack of revelation from God, how on earth am I going to bear fruit? Where's that love going to come from? Where's that joy? Where's that peace going to come from? Because if I don't have a good vision of where God is and what he's doing and what he has me doing, man, life circumstances are just going to take over. It's going to be hard for me to love when people hurt me. It's going to be hard to find joy when things are taken away. It's going to be hard to have peace in my life or in my home when I have no idea what God's doing or what he wants me to do. At a point of spiritual darkness, we can never bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is essential to our walk with God. And we got to know that. Spiritual darkness robs us of a life of faith and bearing fruit. The scripture is not finished revealing the word of God, though, here, which brings us to point two. If we're living a life without vision or a life without revelation, there's going to be spiritual destitution. Not only will you be living in darkness, there's going to be a time in your life of spiritual destitution. Some of you have probably been there. Some of you might be there right now. I don't know. We've all had times in our life where we didn't fully understand God, or we didn't fully understand why me. It's okay. Moses asked the same question. David asked the same question. Jonah asked the same question. Why me? Are you sure you got the right guy? Do you know who you're talking to? And you don't allow God to give you that vision because you don't want any part of it. That when plans are not made for the future, we're in this place of poverty, not just financially. You know, we talk about, you know, planning financially, and we, you know, some of us have financial advisors that help with that, and you know, everybody in America wants to retire someday, and so we make plans financially of how we're going to take care of ourselves when we can no longer work in the workplace or do what we've been doing in our career. But we're supposed to be planning in every area of our life. Staying in this state of destitution will always result in us living, again, in two ways. If we're living in this spiritual destitution of no revelation from God, you are going to constantly be longing. Longing for a lot of stuff. Longing for a lot of things. Psalms chapter 63 says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." If God never takes the place of our longing, we're always going to be longing, always going to be wanting something. And we've all longed for things throughout our life. Going back to when you were young, high school, college years, whatever, you longed for somebody to love, longed for somebody to love you, spend the rest of your life with, to take care of, to grow with. We have things we long for. Some of you guys and gals, you long for the wonderful career and whatever God gave you gifts and talents to do. And we've got nurses in the church. You long to have a nursing career, you know? Some of us are in sales. Some of us are in mechanics, fixing things. God gives many different talents. And you long for an opportunity to use those gifts, to use those talents. But if we don't make God number one of what we are longing for, whatever we get is never going to be enough. You're going to be living in a constant stage of your life where you're always wanting. It's never enough. And that's going to pour into every area of your life. Because when God hasn't filled the hole of longing, you're constantly going to be saying to your spouse, you're not enough, you're not doing enough. You're going to look at the workplace and say, they don't give me enough, they don't appreciate me enough, they don't do enough. You're going to constantly look at your church and your church family, say they're not doing enough, they're not the people they should be. I mean, you're just constantly going to be longing for more, more, more. May the prayer of our heart be, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. And we can't pray that prayer if we have no idea where God is in our life. If we don't allow the Holy Spirit to give us vision. And I this has just happened to me in the last 20 years. To pray earnestly to God, show me. Show me what you're doing in the world. Show me what you're doing in my community so that I can be a part of that. So that we as a church can be a part of that. And that we can grow in you and we can bear much fruit for you and with you. If we're constantly living in spiritual destitution, we're going to be longing and we're also going to be lacking. Always, always lacking. Jeremiah 12:13 says, they will sow wheat but reap thorns. They will wear themselves out but gain nothing. So bear the shame of your harvest because of the Lord's fierce anger. No matter what happens financially, we will still always lack without a vision or a revelation from God. And you know people like that. Maybe you've been there before. People who work and work and work to gain and gain and they never get ahead. And that's just worldly. Financially, constantly in financial trouble, constantly losing this, losing that, and they work and they grind, you know, they work themselves to the bone. And then that, you know, that all comes from their spiritual life. Work and work and work. You can work in the church till you're completely worn out, but without your faith and your understanding of who God is and what He wants for you, you're never going to be satisfied. You're always going to be longing. But then you're going to find yourself lacking in a lot of areas too. Lacking in understanding, lacking in joy for what you're doing with God. Lacking in peace, all those fruit that the Spirit wants to bear in us and through us. We're going to lack those things without a vision from God. Being in this state of spiritual destitution will always ensure that we are always longing for more and that we're always lacking the things we truly desire. And the scripture talks about spiritual darkness, destitution. But it also talks about, number three in your outline, spiritual delight. The second half of our scripture says, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Blessed is the one who sees God for who God is, who receives the word of God and does what it says. Blessed are you when you hear the voice of God in a sermon or in a Sunday school class or in your own home personal Bible study or devotion, and you don't just hear it, you apply it. God says, I will give you spiritual delight. Once we come into alignment with God and His Word, our lives are going to be transformed because of His favor upon our lives. We will always be blessed. That's a promise from God. You follow me. You walk with me. You go where I go. You do what I do. And you obey. I will bless you. Bless you beyond measure. Isaiah 61:10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Try to replace the word God in that scripture with anything else that you long for. You can't put, I delight greatly in my car. My soul rejoices in my car, for my car clothes me with garments of salvation, and my car just keeps blessing. No, you know as well as I know, it doesn't matter how new your car is, it's going to break down eventually and cause headaches and struggles, and it's going to take money out of your pockets. You can't say, I delight greatly in my children. My soul rejoices in my children, for my children clothe me with garments of salvation. We can't say that. As much as we love our children, they suck us dry sometimes of a lot of different things. And we can say, put anything in there that you long for or love more than God. You can't even put your spouse's name in there, because those things won't happen. Only God. When you have a vision and an understanding of who God is and where he wants to take you, will you be truly blessed? We have thousands of Christians walking the world today, scratching their heads, wondering, why am I not being blessed like my neighbor? Why am I not being blessed? Living in spiritual darkness, living in spiritual destitution, not having a daily walk with God. If you lack a daily walk with God, you will never understand where God wants you to go, what God wants you to do. You know, we just pull things out of the air 1st of January, and we call them resolutions, and I want to change this stuff. Do we ever sit down with God and say, what do you want to change in me? Maybe God doesn't want to change anything in you. He created you. He's perfect in what he does. He created a perfect you. Maybe he just wants obedience. I don't want you to change your looks. I created you the way I wanted you to look. I don't want to change the color of your hair or how much hair you do have or what. I made you. What I would like is a little more obedience. Maybe that could be a New Year's resolution. I will obey God. But the only way you can obey God is if you know him and you understand what he wants you to do and where he wants you to go. And when you're blessed by God, folks, you never lack anything. And I'm not talking worldly, material things. When you are blessed by God, you will have a joy beyond human understanding. You will have a peace in your life and a peace in your home because you are right with God. Because you're walking side by side with God. We will always be blessed. And God promises us, if I will give you anything you need to follow me, if you'll trust me. We'll always be blessed. And we will always believe when we are in this state of spiritual delight, knowing what God wants. Mark 9:23 says, if you can, that's a question mark. Jesus is questioning. What do you mean, if you can? Jesus says, everything is possible for him who believes. If we believe, Jesus is saying, if you believe, you're going to receive. God asks you to teach Sunday school. And you tell God, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I have the right words to speak. I don't know if I'm a good public speaker. Jesus is saying right there, what do you mean, if you can? I've asked you to teach. Do you believe that I will give you what you need to teach? Of course I will. God says, I need some people to work with my young people in church. Oh, I don't know. I don't relate to young people. They drive me nuts. Have you seen what they wear today? Have you seen the things they or hear the things they say? I don't understand them. God says, what do you mean? I don't know if I can. If I've asked you to work with young people, I will give you what you need to work with young people. The list goes on and on and on. I want you to lead worship. Oh, I don't know, Lord. I don't know if I've practiced the piano or practiced the guitar long enough. I'm not as good as Jonathan on the guitar. People aren't going to want to listen to my piano playing. Jesus says, what do you mean, if you can? If I've asked you to lead worship, I will give you what you need to effectively lead worship. Jesus tells us to leave this place Sunday after Sunday. I want you to go love your enemy. How many times do we tell Jesus, I don't know if I can? Do you know how hard they've made my life? Do you know how deep they hurt me? How deep they've scarred me? I don't know if I can love that person. Jesus says, what do you mean, if you can? When I bless you, I'm going to bless you with the things you need to love your enemy. I will give you a heart of compassion. I will give you a heart of mercy. I will give you a heart of grace. If we believe, God says, you will receive. If we have no vision, we're going to perish. We're going to perish in so many different ways. And I just want to encourage each and every one of us in the upcoming season. It's January. It's a good time to talk about this. This afternoon, we're going to have lunch, and we're going to have a very brief meeting. But the focus on that meeting mostly is going to be praying for the future of this church and praying for the ministry of the church and asking God to raise up men, women, and children that'll do his work and be effective kingdom workers in the kingdom. And we're going to pray for leaders. We're going to pray for people in ministry. We're going to pray for our missionaries for the year and so forth. But folks, if we continue living in spiritual darkness, we will always be faithless and we will always be fruitless. Nobody can live that long just being oblivious to what God wants from you or what God wants from the church or what God wants from me. We will always be lacking and we will always be longing without any satisfaction, without having any vision of where God wants you to go or what God wants you to do. You're never going to find satisfaction. And you'll never find satisfaction in your walk with God. You'll constantly be frustrated with God. But if we delight in gaining spiritual gifts and delighting in those gifts, we will always be blessed. Jesus says, because you believe in me, I will constantly bless you if you will just believe in me. That's our invitation this morning. If you want to just bow your head spiritually to your God, and just remind him and remind yourself of what you said when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. And I know 99% of you sitting here have already given your life to Jesus Christ. And what was the first word you said when you gave your life to Jesus Christ? I believe. I believe. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you are who you say you are. And when we told Jesus that I believe, that goes much more than just, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you have the ability to forgive my sins. It also, we're also telling Jesus, I believe you will take me where you want me to go. I believe that you will equip me with the things I need to do what you've called me to do. And I pray that that would be all of our prayer today. As we start this new year, and some of you are deciding different things, You're trying to have a vision of things you're preparing for in the future. Start your vision with God. Ask the Holy Spirit, show me God. Show me, God, what you are doing in the world today. And Father, if I can be a small part of that, equip me to go. Remove me and allow people to see you. If you need to start your walk with God, I can't think of a better time than January to start a year out than the offering your life to Jesus Christ and to tell him, I do, I believe you are the Christ. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you are who you say you are. And I believe that you will do what you say you will do. I offer myself in full service and in full commitment to you. If you need to do that today, we invite you to come up this morning. We'll pray with you. We'll take your confession of faith. We'll get you baptized and start your new life in Jesus Christ. For the rest of us, I just pray, let's get some vision from God in our personal lives. For each and every one of us, so we're ready. No matter what time of year, whether it's springtime, summertime, fall, we get into winter again. When we hear the call from God, you can say, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to teach. I'm ready to cook. I'm ready to speak. I'm ready, whatever God wants you to. I'm ready to host. Well, I'm ready to go. Let's do this, God. I trust fully you'll give me what I need to do. Would you stand and make that commitment to God this morning? Let's stand and forget the name of the song we're singing. Take time to be holy. Listen to the words of this song and really mean it when you sing it to God this morning.